From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. The quality and safety of low-income housing can help make or break the life of a city. As an Illinois state senator, Barack Obama supported subsidies for private companies to build and manage low-income housing. But instead of improving, many of the projects in his Chicago district fell into disrepair. A recent Boston Globe article dug into Obama's connections with the property owners. To tell us more, we've got the article's author, Benjamin Applebaum, plus Illinois State Representative Julie Hamos. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Benjamin, let me start with you. Your article focuses on Grove Park Plaza. It's a development located in the district that Obama represented for 8 years when he was a state senator. So tell us why you zeroed in on this development.
We were interested in Obama's years as a state senator because it's sort of his largest body of work as a politician, and so we thought it would be instructive to look at how he did. And the issue of affordable housing was a signature issue for him. It was one of his major focuses both before becoming an elected official and during his time as an elected official. And what we found is that the policies he supported in many cases produced developments that have failed. And furthermore, many of the major beneficiaries of those policies have been his friends and supporters, and many of the people who have suffered were his constituents, people who lived in his state senate district. Grove Park is one of the outstanding examples of this problem. It sits on the border of Obama's district. It's 504 apartments of subsidized housing, fully renovated in the early 1990s, that have fallen into such disrepair that the plan now is to demolish them and start all over again. It was built by a nonprofit led by a number of Obama supporters. It was managed during the period of its greatest decline by a company called the Habitat Company, which is led by Valerie Jarrett, who is a senior advisor to Obama's presidential campaign. And it sits, as I said, in his district. So it struck us as sort of emblematic of the issue that we wanted to write about.
You did reach out to Senator Obama. What did he tell you about his perception of the issues that you raised?
The Obama campaign affirmed Senator Obama's support for the policy of subsidizing private developers and managers of affordable housing. It did not respond to questions about whether the senator was aware of the problems in his district.
Now, Julie, let me go to you. From your perspective as someone who is a state representative, what did you think of the article, and what do you think of the entire issue of privatizing public housing, whether or not it's worked, and whether or not there's a hint of perhaps too much leeway being given to developers linked to the senator?
Well, first of all, I thought the article was unfair in the way that it focused on some projects, and in this particular case, Grove Park is a great example. Grove Park was built in 1970 under a really under a failed policy of the federal government. It was called a project-based Section 8. It was built as a project-based Section 8 program, and these projects typically did not have enough money put into them by the federal government for the kind of maintenance that we really need long-term to make sure that they succeed. That's exactly the kind of programs that we're not really building anymore, and Grove Park is an example of that. Those have been replaced now by more innovative and successful policies, and those policies are, in fact, the private-public partnerships that we should be really applauding. They are the partnerships using tax credits that have now created thousands of units of much smaller developments, a lot of mixed-income developments, and really revitalizing neighborhoods. So I fully support, as a public policymaker, what we're trying to do now, which is to bring in private developers using market-based incentives to get them to build affordable housing. This is still a very big issue in most communities. It certainly is here in Illinois, but it is the model that is working. Grove Park is an old model that didn't work, and we replaced it.
But it sounds in a way as if there was an old model, which you and many others think didn't work, and then there was a kind of middle model, which was this hybrid, you know, older building, new private redevelopment, private-public partnerships. So are you saying that that model also doesn't work?
No, I would say that what we're using, the model that we are still continuing to use now, which we started here with Harold Washington era, of really creating tax credits, you know, and then also doing that at the state level, is in fact the only model that seems to be creating affordable housing units and now in more mixed-income communities. It is what we are doing. We are not going to go back to an era where we're going to expect the federal government or the state government to be the developers and managers and operators. We have to depend on private developers to really be part of our partners, and we have to subsidize them and assist them and support them to make these projects work long-term.
Binyamin, let me bring this back into a larger framework, which is Democratic politics. The issue made headlines during the Democratic primary. Let's listen to Senator Clinton in South Carolina.
I was fighting against those ideas when you were practicing law and representing your contributor, Resco, in his slum landlord business in inner city Chicago.
That's Senator Clinton attacking Senator Barack Obama for his connection to Antonin Resco. And Resco was a major Obama fundraiser. Give us a little bit more of a context, Binyamin, on what exactly the connection is between Resco and Obama.
Resco is a really interesting example. Resco is one of Obama's primary fundraisers, particularly for his earlier political campaigns. He was a friend of the senator's. He was involved in Obama's purchase of a home in 2005. But what's really interesting about Tony Resco is that he was a developer on the model that the representative was just describing, which is that he built mixed-income housing in mixed-income communities scattered across Chicago, small numbers of developments, the model that was supposed to replace Grove Park. And that also failed spectacularly. And it failed for the same reason, which is that the private managers and the private developers were inadequately supervised by the government. They all say that they didn't get enough money to manage these projects. Perhaps that's true, although some of them succeed and some of them fail. The ones that succeed say they do have enough money. The ones that fail say they don't have enough money. But whether or not that's the issue, the fact of the matter is that this new model, this third generation of subsidized development, so far it does not have a noticeably better track record than the generation that included Grove Park, which incidentally was most recently redone after the administration of Harold Washington. And one broader note here, which is that, you know, this, as much as this is a story about what happened in Chicago, it's also a story about what did not happen. And specifically, we're not in any way finding that, you know, Barack Obama directed the money to these developers or that he was directly responsible for the suffering of his constituents. What's interesting here is that Obama did not stand up and point his finger at the problems, and he did not participate, as best we can tell, in an effort to correct the problems. That to me is as much the issue as what went wrong.
Representative Haines, please comment. Do you think that Senator Obama may have turned a blind eye to things that were going on the ground?
You know, I think there's a couple of different parts of Barack's career during that period. He was a lawyer, and he, as I understand it, that Hillary Clinton quote refers to a situation where he went into court like once to file an appearance in a longstanding case and was not actively involved in even representing that particular client. But he was a lawyer, and lawyers do represent clients, although he wasn't as actively involved in that as Hillary Clinton would have suggested. That's him as a lawyer. As a policymaker, I can tell you I am one of the champions of affordable housing here in Illinois. I worked very closely with Barack when he was the state senator, who I often went to spearhead these important initiatives in the Senate. And we do look to initiatives that will incentivize developers to get involved in building more affordable housing. We understand that these affordable housing developments don't have a lot of cash going through them. They're for very low-income people, and it's a challenge to manage these well, and it's a challenge to get enough money to have good on-site management operations. So we understand this, that some developments do better than other developments, and yet we don't stand up and accuse or blame the people that we are trying to bring into the process. It is one of the challenges of building housing for very low-income people, continues to today. It's not unique to Barack. It's not unique to anybody. It is the work that I'm engaged in all the time. And we understand that some of these are going to be better developments than others.
A little bit later in the show, we actually are going to talk to a resident who can give us another perspective on Grove Park. But I do want to mention that we contacted the Obama campaign for comment, and they sent us a statement that read in part, throughout his career in public service, Barack Obama has advocated for the development of mixed-income housing and public-private partnerships to create affordable housing as an alternative to public-subsidized, concentrated, low-income housing. Binyamin, What is the verdict on a larger level on whether or not purely public-based housing, low-income housing, is better or worse than these public-private partnerships?
I don't know that we know the answer to that finally. There have been very different experiences in different cities. I don't think there's any question that in Chicago, public housing managed by public entities was a catastrophic failure. Other cities have a much better success with it. And so, you know, some of it seems to have to do with the political structure, with the actual management of it. It can work. It doesn't always. It's the same thing with these privately managed and publicly subsidized complexes. There doesn't seem to be a magic formula, nor does there seem to be an absolute Achilles heel. The funding issue is a bit of a red herring. At many of these complexes, the government is paying 2 times the market rent in those areas to subsidize the units in the affordable complex. There is plenty of money, at least according to the people who manage some of these complexes successfully, if you manage it right. There's never enough if you don't manage it right. There doesn't seem to be either a magic bullet or an absolute clear flaw.
All right, Representative Hamos, very quickly, what's the most important thing to keep in mind to make sure that this housing is safe and secure?
Well, I think that Mr. Applebaum pointed to the fact that sometimes it works better than other times. But I think if we're focusing this on Barack Obama's accomplishments in the Illinois Senate, it's very telling that he passed significant legislation dealing with affordable housing. It did get the state to make more investments than we ever had before through the state donations tax credit, $26 million a year. But it did involve these public-private partnerships. It is a model that I believe in till today. And he was one of the early leaders and somebody that we applauded at the time. It was the kind of legislation that was brought to us by housing advocates and public officials as a way to increase availability of affordable housing and revitalize communities.
Okay. Well, Representative and Mr. Applebaum, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Julie Hamos is an Illinois state representative, and Benjamin Applebaum is a reporter for the Boston Globe. He joined us from the WBUR studios in Boston.